sto raccontando di un percorso storico che parte dal 2008 e dove tu ti sei autodefinito una specie di flaneur digitale, un antropologo del mondo virtuale. Potresti un po' raccontarci di più di questo?
So I began my artistic career through just being excited about all these new vocabularies to emerge, new virtual worlds to emerge with the emergence of Web 2.0 with mass social media. Like behind us, you can see the world, the virtual world of Second Life. And I found in these new virtual expanses a rich mine of new material for my artistic practice. I felt that until then, the art world hadn't truly acknowledged the internet, and because at that point, the internet had just become ubiquitous. You couldn't deny that it was a part of everyday life. And I felt that as an artist, I had to look at that and examine it critically. And in all these different virtual worlds, like Second Life or Google Street View, where I spent years of my life clicking through Google Street View, which is a feature of Google Maps, and exploring the world virtually like that, I felt that in each one of these virtual worlds, it reflected something about our real world. Or perhaps even this dichotomy between the real and the virtual was not as strict as it always has been before. Perhaps it was collapsing. And that's how I began my journey.
Il titolo della mostra si chiama Il viaggiatore mentale. Qual è la differenza tra il viaggiatore mentale e l'antropologo digitale?
On one level, my work is an exploration of identity and what identity is now, what the self is now in a world where we're constantly bombarded with information and overloaded with information nonstop. And nothing feels connected, where you fall in love in the morning, read about a war going on in some far-off country in the afternoon, and then are bombarded with the data on your Facebook newsfeed about the mundanities of other people's lives. And more there's less of a sense of everything being connected. And I want to examine what that does to the self. How can we construct coherent identities in a world that in which everything seems fragmented. And so for me, a lot of these journeys online in different virtual worlds are also related to a sort of personal journey to understanding like my own identity in this world. And I think like the internet ultimately is a reflection of our own egos.
Il tema della verità è molto, molto pertinente alla tua pratica artistica, perché il tema della verità si connette molto all'identità del soggetto, alla realtà materiale, e quindi in questi mondi che vediamo attraverso gli occhi di internet, sappiamo ci sono anche mondi diversi che hanno degli strati diversi. C'è la parte superficiale, che è quello delle piattaforme che conosciamo come YouTube, c'è il deep web e poi c'è il dark web. Tu sei un navigatore che va sia in senso orizzontale come anche verticale, entra proprio dentro l'anima di internet. Però allo stesso tempo lo fa proprio per mettere in evidenza quelli che sono questi confini tra la realtà materiale e come noi capiamo il nostro io, la nostra psiche, il nostro inconscio reale e quello che invece viene simulato, quello che invece viene manipolato digitalmente, ma soprattutto creato ex novo, perché l'internet crea una possibilità di espressione infinita, dove ognuno si può reinventare, riformulare, ricreare. Quindi c'è questa ambivalenza costante in questo rapporto. Potresti raccontarci un po' di più di questa dicotomia?
That's a good question. I think one of the characters that most fascinates me, that I keep returning to in my work, is which maybe I am myself kind of partly, I see that in my own self, is the internet obsessed troll, or the person who completely exists online. But there's the great dichotomy, or in a way, on one level, we still cannot completely escape from our physicality, from our bodies. And in a way, I see the internet troll as one of the great heroes of our time, or maybe anti-heroes, because no matter how much, you know, maybe on one level, they might have a very rich social life on the internet, like in Second Life or in a video game world. But you can never completely escape from the reality of our physical being. And I like that tension. And so throughout my work, I try to highlight that tension. And the kind of detritus and the garbage that grows around being somebody who's completely obsessed with being all the time in some virtual world. So I have a whole series of messy keyboards, and it appears throughout my work, because I see that the computer station, which I tried to create a few of in my exhibition, as this portal, the portal between the virtual and the real. I'm not sure if that answers the question, but those are some thoughts.
C'è anche un altro livello, che è quello un po' più costruito, che si riferisce molto all'influenza che ha il consumo di internet nella nostra psiche, nel nostro inconscio, nel momento in cui non siamo consapevoli degli effetti che provoca. Questo è evidente in un lavoro in particolare, che è il più recente, che si chiama Dream Journal, che racconta di un diario che tu hai scritto per anni, dei tuoi sogni, che poi però è stato dato a una persona che lo visualizzasse, che lo rappresentasse, per creare una narrativa specifica dove si mettono in evidenza i passaggi dove appunto cerchi di mettere in evidenza questa influenza molto evidente del mondo reale passato in internet, che però influenza sempre di più la tua psiche.
So just a little background. I, for about 2-3 years, every morning I would wake up, or if I had a dream, I would write it down and I would send it to an animator, and a few weeks later I would get back my dream. After many years, I had this huge archive of after my animated dreams, and together I weave them into this narrative that you can see at my exhibition. I think ultimately what I after reflection, what it represents is perhaps, on one level, it's an expression of an unconscious, like I was describing earlier, that is, you know, constantly bombarded by all these fragments of information, but nothing is connected. On another level, maybe I was trying to create like a modern narrative, like an epic narrative in the tradition of Homer, of a character who just moves from almost like surfing the web, where you move from one hyperlink to another hyperlink, and nothing is, and everything is kind of loosely related, and you can travel through time effortlessly. And like Second Life, I feel like it reveals a world where there is no historical context, where history is just become signs and symbols. And so on one level, I see it also as a cautionary tale. It reveals the mind of somebody who is like obsessed with the internet and what effect that has on our unconscious mind.
C'è un aspetto anche molto politico legato da un certo punto di vista in uno dei tuoi lavori, dove si vede una serie di omini che sono generati da un algoritmo. Sono degli omini blu che sono in una situazione di crisi, dove cadono, vanno a sbattere contro un muro, muoiono. E nello stesso video si vedono delle viscere, degli intestinali, un corpo, l'interno di un corpo. Abbiamo molto discusso a riguardo di questo confronto, di questa relazione, perché Parlando di questo algoritmo che appunto genera questi uomini che non hanno, sono anonimi, non hanno identità, sono indisposable, non mi viene la parola in italiano in questo modo, sono, possono morire a ripetizione. Parlavamo appunto dell'idea orwelliana di cosa significava 1984, o comunque una rappresentazione del controllo personificata in una persona che non esiste, però in questo caso parlavamo appunto del controllo generato da qualcosa che è pervasivo ma è depersonalizzato, è inesistente, è un software. Quindi noi c'è tutto un aspetto molto legato all'influenza che un software o il mondo digitale ha nella nostra consapevolezza politica anche di essere umani. Credo che questo lavoro molto si relazioni a questo aspetto. Ci puoi un po' raccontare di più?
Sure. When I was making this film, which is called Poor Magic, that's the film Diana is referring to, I was trying to imagine the worst possible dystopia for today. I think in every era, our cultural imagination has a certain idea of a dystopia. And I think each one of these dystopias reveals the fears of that particular time and place. So the dystopia I was imagining was one that sometimes some people in Silicon Valley actually see as a utopia, where a future where we are uploaded onto a server and we've achieved singularity and we're one with this hyper-intelligent alien A artificial intelligence. But in my version, in this world, we're immortal as well. But in my version, we become voiceless avatars that are just ceaselessly tortured for all eternity, and we cannot die. And I think that that particular vision of the future reveals something about the present and this feeling we have of now being completely not dominated by some centralized authority like the 1984 one Diana mentioned, but rather by these algorithms that we ourselves have constructed but are now to dominate us. And that is a scary thing, especially if you can imagine a world where we are eventually just fully unable to die and then just tortured ceaselessly for the rest of eternity.
E l'unica via di fuga è la morte.
There's no death because we've already we've been uploaded, we're just digital.
Maybe forse l'ultima domanda può mettersi più in contesto nel nostro settore, proprio quello dell'arte, meno dei contenuti, ma proprio anche dell'esperienza fisica molto immersiva delle tue installazioni, perché la fruizione in questi contesti è molto importante. Ovviamente i tuoi film sono molto lunghi, si potrebbe benissimo fruire in un contesto cinema, però tu hai scelto invece di creare delle installazioni molto specifiche per accompagnare questi percorsi, questi viaggi mentali. Ci sono dei cubicoli, delle postazioni che ricordano molto delle postazioni che gli utenti di videogiochi si costruiscono per creare delle situazioni più coinvolgenti del gioco, e sono molto claustrofobiche, che danno un senso di intrappolamento. Dall'altra parte invece ci sono situazioni molto più effimere, cioè c'è una stanza che è rossa, ricoperta, è riflettiva, riflette praticamente l'immagine e allo stesso tempo è trasparente, ci si può passare dentro, la si può attraversare. Questi sono esempi, però ovviamente tutte le stanze hanno una componente molto specifica. Ci puoi raccontare perché è così importante per te questo ambiente, questa anche dicotomia proprio tra il mondo che è proiettato nell'immagine del video e quello che è invece reale intorno?
So in each one of my installations I try to create a unique environment that reflects or somehow is in conversation with the content of the video I'm showing. And it's a mood that I try to evoke and also a physical haptic feeling that I try to create is one that is about two opposing feelings. One, claustrophobia, and like the sense of being trapped in a small space, as well as kind of comfort, that feeling of being, you know, safe in the womb. And I think this sort of like dichotomy or two opposites in one, for me, is very representative of a feeling I have often when I'm surfing the internet or playing a video game that I'm obsessed with or looking on my Instagram feed. And that's that. It's a feeling of, at the same time, being like in the safe space behind your screen, in this highly mediated space where you can satisfy all your desires at the click of a finger. But at the same time, it is a kind of disgusting sense of being trapped in a claustrophobic, suffocating space. And I just find that as one of the general states now of like being both attached to our technology and our screens, but at the same time, desiring it and also being like feeling suffocated and trapped by all the technology around us. In terms of, I guess, so in each environment, I try to find this nexus of opposing feelings. I think, yeah, I would end it there for that one. But I would love to hear more from the audience. If you want to open it up to the floor? It's like,
Ci sono. John sarebbe molto curioso di aprire la discussione a voi se avete delle domande.
Don't be shy.
Okay, I have a.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you have a question,
no, please.
Okay.
Let's go back. Let's keep it open.
Okay. As the internet, I just want to ask the. The wing composition and sometimes you use in your stories is like something that you really want to, as the internet, you start from a starting point that you get to the end, but it's not the end, it could be also the starting point. This wing composition is something that you really want to, or something that happens in a way.
Okay. Are you talking about the fact that all the stories loop into each other? That's a good question. I think it's one that is both an aspect of the art gallery where you want to be able to create narratives where you can enter at any point, but maybe even more importantly, it relates back to that feeling of being trapped that I want to evoke in all my work, where there is a sense where, and I'll get really more political, I think that because there is no more revolutionary, emancipatory imagination, there's no sense of being able to really escape our current, you know, whatever you want to call it, late capitalist situation, post-modern situation. There's a true sense of that there is no outside. And I find that both in the, that's partly why I'm so interested in virtual worlds and video games, because they are these bubble realities that you can't truly escape from, and your actions are limited on one level. And also I try to do that narratively in my stories, where like a Ouroboros eating its own tail, there's no escape from the narrative. It just keeps on returning on itself in a recursive ad infinity.
When you say there is no outside, mm-hmm. Are you going outside sometimes?
You know what? I honestly think that I don't spend more time in front of my computer than your average office worker who has to sit in front of their screen all day answering emails. Except at least I'm doing something I love and I'm exploring these realities that interest me. Sure, I am an obsessive and I try to take my obsessive qualities that could be destructive and self-destructive and make as something productive out of them. But yeah, you do need to have a little bit of pathology to do some of these projects that I do. But I think your average person these days does spend, not maybe as much as me, but maybe not in Italy, but in the large parts of the world, a lot of time in front of the computer screen.
Hi, thanks for your talk. John, I was wondering, you talk about the sense of entrapment as being central to your artwork and to what you want to express. Has this always been the case, or has it come along with the fact that virtual mediums lend themselves to evoking this sense, because effectively in a virtual reality right now, how it is, you're trapped inside a physical mask, so you have less of a connection with reality. Has it? So have you always wanted to evoke this in your art, or has it been shaped with the way that the mediums are going? And if so, do you envision a future where we can enter into virtual worlds without a physical mask on our heads?
Mm-hmm. So I'll just, one of the theses I often come back to in my work is that I don't think that technology actually changes our consciousness or changes the world. It's actually the opposite. A transformation in consciousness has already occurred, and then the technology that emerged reflect that change in consciousness. So I think maybe what virtual reality, I mean, it's been around, or our idea of it has been around for a long time, but it's now finally on the mass market. I think what that reveals is a world where there is less and less universal truths, where we can all have our own version of reality. And in a way, maybe it's just a metaphor for how each one of us has our, you know, we have our own personal algorithms that give us the media that, you know, Google or Facebook thinks we want to eat. And I think, yeah, in a way, virtual reality is just maybe revealing what's already there, and that's a world in which nobody actually experiences the same thing anymore. And what I want to know is, how do we communicate with each other? You know, in the past we had the Bible and Western literature as our universal symbols, but now if you're in a world where nobody is experiencing the same thing, seeing the same media, what kind of communication, what happens to interpersonal communication? And I don't see it an escape right now from that.
Altre domande? Okay. Thank you so much, George.
It was a pleasure.
Grazie mille.